Hello, friends. Welcome to Think Jesus Cafe. This is your Daily 10, and this is your host, Mark Day. Today, we want to take a close look at verse 16 in the third chapter of the New Testament letter of 1 John. So I'll begin today by reading 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him? How does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Last time we thought about the Apostle John's claim that love for our brothers and sisters in Christ is a great identifier of true born-again Christian faith. This type of self-sacrificing love serves others in the name of Christ. It serves others in such a way that it is clearly observable that the root cause is Christ. Now, this is important since we all know that millions of people do many good and very helpful acts of service for the benefit of others. We can easily recognize that people from all types of religious backgrounds, social backgrounds, family backgrounds, cultural backgrounds help and serve others. And we don't want to minimize the importance and value of these acts of kindness. But there's a critical distinction to be made. Biblical love of the brethren, love of our brothers and sisters in Christ, is done in the name of Christ. That's not to say that every act of kindness is followed by the statement, quote, in the name of Christ, but it is to say that the motivation, the prompting, to do something kind and generous is because of the inner working of Christ in our life. Christians serve others in a self-sacrificing way because Christ compels us to act in that way. We don't sacrificially serve others because we're such great human beings. We serve others because Christ compels us to act. So in that way, we serve others in the name of Jesus Christ, according to the will of Christ, according to the character of Christ, according to the purposes of Christ. Okay, in verse 16, John says, quote, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers, end quote. The first thing we can observe about this verse is that Jesus is to be our example. The apostle says, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us. So John is linking Jesus and his sacrificial death with what we can know about true Christian self-sacrificing agape love. Now, the subject John is dealing with is love. He says, by this we know love. And in this one chapter alone, chapter 3, John uses the word love 9 times. So Christ-like agape love is on the mind of the Apostle John. So Jesus is to be our example. And John follows by saying, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. So there are several distinctions to be made here. As I say, the first thing we can observe is that Jesus ought to be our example. John expects those who claim to follow Jesus, those who claim to know Jesus, those who claim to be disciples of Jesus, well, those kinds of people ought to model their life after the one they claim to follow. Now, this is a critical distinction for understanding the biblical worldview. We're tempted to shrug and think to ourselves, oh yeah, sure, we all know that. But my friend, we really can't shrug at this very important point. It's a simple point, but a critically important one. Okay, here's the point. A follower of Jesus ought to follow Jesus, right? A follower of Jesus ought to follow Jesus. To follow someone means that we model our own life after the life of another person. In fact, a very accurate way to say it would be this way. A follower of Jesus imitates the life of Jesus. Now, this point is so important because of the scarcity of it. Let me ask you a question, my friend. Do you know any self-proclaimed Christians who are not modeling their life after Jesus? Can you think of any individuals who claim to follow Jesus, but yet their own life does not imitate the life of Christ himself? Well, let me ask you another question. How does that work? How does it work that a person claims to be a Christ follower, but their life doesn't follow the pattern of Christ. I mean, in any other area of life, if we say we follow someone, then what we mean is that we, to an important extent, model our lives after that person. We adopt their thinking, their behaviors, and attitudes. Years ago, I studied the martial art karate. Specifically, it was Okinawan karate. The forms, movements, and history were so interesting to me. I would go to the dojo 3 or 4 times a week and train and practice. There was a certain Okinawan man who was the master. He was a very old man, but in his karate movements, he was smooth, quick, and very powerful. No one, absolutely no one, could measure up to this man's skill. Well, this old man had poured his life into a guy I knew, Steve. And after 30 years, Steve was virtually a master himself. So I was part of a group of students, and we learned Okinawan karate through Steve, the highest-ranking disciple of the old Okinawan master. He very carefully taught the movements, and we tried to imitate them exactly. He very carefully taught the meaning behind the movements, and we tried to understand. There was a certain attitude. We were taught that this style of karate ought to be learned, practiced, and used with an attitude of peace, not anger or aggression. The true art of Okinawan karate was a powerful and ancient self-defense tool, and it was a tool of peace. Okay, what's the point? Well, I don't study karate any longer, haven't for many years. But when I think of following Jesus, I sometimes think of how it was in the dojo all those years ago. We tried to imitate the karate master. Anyone who didn't want to train hard and try to imitate the master's karate movements, well, they could move on. They could find another place to exercise or do whatever they wanted. If you wanted to stay in the dojo, you had to work. A lot of work. A lot of hard, strenuous training. The expectation was that if you were going to train in the Okinawan karate system, then you would be applying yourself to imitating the master. My point is that this attitude of following or imitating the master applies to virtually every area of life. Sports, business, the arts. But when it comes to Jesus, people think they can simply claim his name and move on and live any way they want. Not so. Jesus Christ is Lord of the universe. Jesus is the creator, master of all that exists. Those who claim to follow Jesus as the savior of their souls are expected to model their life after the one they claim is their Lord. They're expected to adopt his ways of thinking. Followers of Jesus, disciples of Jesus, believers in Jesus Christ, are expected to be about the business of imitating Jesus in everyday life. All right, John says, quote, "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers." Because the master of our life, Jesus Christ, laid down his life for us, we ought to model and imitate that love and lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, what does it mean to lay down our life? Oswald Chambers made the important observation that Jesus did not ask us to physically die for him. He asked us to lay down our lives. Oh, how difficult it is to live this life day in and day out. Live this life and at the same time lay down our life for the sake of Christ. In his book, My Utmost for His Highest, Sanders wrote the following, quote, "Salvation is easy for us because it costs God so much. But the exhibiting of salvation in my life is difficult. God saves a person, fills him with the Holy Spirit, and even says, in effect, 'Now you work it out in your own life and be faithful to me,' even though the nature of everything around you is to cause you to be unfaithful," end quote. So, in the Apostle John's mind, the issue of following Jesus, the issue of being a disciple of Jesus, is very straightforward. True disciples are preoccupied with the work of imitating Jesus. So, as John's readers attempt to discern true and false teachers, true and false believers, one of the tests is whether or not a person is seriously attempting to model their life after Jesus Christ. Next time, we'll continue thinking about what it means to love others in a way that reflects the love Jesus has for us. Thank you for joining us in Think Jesus Cafe. This has been your Daily 10. Join us again next time as we think about Jesus, a biblical worldview, and real life.